A reading of Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him.
From the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master's is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of the Lord. When I was in seminary many, many years ago, I did my intern work with a large congregation in Houston, Texas, Memorial Drive Presbyterian Church. I was hired for the summer primarily to coordinate their college student ministry, as well as to get some general practical experience leading worship, preaching, teaching, and a little pastoral visitation. Now, every church has its various groups that do things, and the groups are supposed to help people feel connected to the community in some meaningful way. Usually, the names of these groups hint at what that group is about. The titles of most of our groups here at Bryn Mawr let you know what they are and what they do. The Sanctuary Choir, Dimensions in Literature, Coffee Cup Bible Study, the Hunger Committee, and so on. Well, this church in Texas had a group called Branches. They were mostly older members of the congregation, and they were faithful folk. Their faces wore the soft lines of having seen a lot, of having smiled a lot, of having suffered some too. They met in homes, shared a meal together, and studied the Bible. And out of that grew their ministry of service. They cared for people who were grieving. They took food to the sick. Some visited in a local prison. They served the homeless. They were Branches. Obviously, their name came from our scripture this morning. powerfully poetic words of Jesus, which describe the relationships of Christian community, first to God through Jesus Christ, and then to one another. When John wrote the gospel for the first century church, these early Christians were trying to get on their feet for mission. They were trying to understand how they were to reckon with the larger, often hostile world around them. They were trying to understand how their relationship with that world would be shaped by the Word of God and their faith in Christ. They had their scriptures and their traditions. They had their opinions and their experiences of the risen Lord, but they needed help in articulating their peculiarity and their particularity as a Christian community. When folks started arguing about their essential mission, they needed to know what principle to apply, which would help them make sense of it all. When they struggled with their identity as Christians, they needed some basic tenets to hold on to. Was it their role to be gatekeepers, trying to keep an up-to-date record of who belonged to the church and who did not belong? Was it their task to maintain some doctrinal purity? Were they called by a dogged faithfulness to some social justice agenda? The question of the community in this early post-resurrection world was, what is the most important thing for the church to do in the name of Jesus Christ? And on the far side of that question, they remembered something Jesus had said. Abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. I have loved you. Abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In other words, what has been done for us in Christ tells us who we are, and who we are tells us what we are to do. We are branches because Christ the vine has loved, nurtured, supported, and sustained us to do his work in the world. On this day of the annual meeting of the congregation, when we pause after worship to take stock of what we are doing together as a congregation, it is a good reminder to recall how we are connected to one another insofar as we are connected to God through Jesus Christ. What the trustees do, for example, to manage our finances and property enables the session to engage our worship, mission, and Christian nurture so that as a whole congregation together, we are branches reaching out from the vine. Imagine for a moment just how the first century Christians understood Jesus' use of this vine imagery. Vineyards were located on terraces around the country hillside, and they required a lot of tending. The vine dresser worked hard to make sure that the vines were productive. A plot of ground was carefully selected. The land was cleared of stones. A fence or hedge was built around the vineyard. A wine vat was hewn. A watchtower was erected, and the vines of grapes were planted. Grapes are grown on trellises today, but then they ran along the surface of the ground. When the vines then began bearing fruit, stones had to be placed below the vine branches to keep the fruit off the ground. And once the grapes started to appear, unproductive branches would be pruned to allow for more nourishment to go to the productive branches. It was intensive, daily, hourly work. So when Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches," Jesus was saying, "I am doing absolutely everything I can possibly do to love and care for you so that you may love and care for one another." And the love Jesus was talking about was not simply a warm and sentimental thing. Rather, it is being for the other person and acting accordingly. The gospel writer John says Jesus insisted that the evidence of the Christian life is love in action. There will be no pat recitations of prayers or simply quoting scripture. Showing up for worship would not be enough. Only actively loving one another and reaching out to those in need would give evidence of their ingrafting into Christ. As one biblical scholar, Gail O'Day, has said, the vine image provides the crowning symbol for the life of a community that lives out the love that Jesus shared. The intermingling of the branches in the vine and the gardener's attentive care to the fruitfulness of the branches create the quintessential visual image of the Christian community that is shaped by love and grounded in God's presence. Near the end of C.S. Lewis' book, Mere Christianity, is a chapter entitled, "Is Christianity Hard or Easy?" Lewis ponders whether being good is what God really wants of us. If we are good, he said, we do good things. Is that what God demands of the Christian? After he poses the question, C.S. Lewis responds, "The Christian way is different. Harder and easier." He said, "Christ demands of us, give me all. I do not want so much of your work. I want you. I've not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want the whole tree. Hand over the whole self, and I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own will shall become your will." You see, this vine image is an all or nothing proposition. What it means, I think, to say we abide in the vine of Jesus Christ is we give our whole selves to God so that we can reach out to a hurting, needy world in loving service. Virginia Safford has written a book of devotions in which she recalls a thought-provoking marker on a grave that said a lot about the person it remembered. She writes, "In a cemetery once, an old one in New England, I found a strangely soothing epitaph. The name of the deceased and her dates had been scoured away by wind and rain, but there was a carving of a tree with roots and branches, and among them these words, She attended well and faithfully to a few worthy things. At first, this seemed to me a little meager, a little stingy on the part of her survivors. But I've thought about it since, and I cannot imagine a more proud and satisfying legacy. She attended well and faithfully to a few worthy things. Safford goes on to reflect on how that epitaph intersects with her own life, and with good humor she says, "Every day I stand in danger of being struck by lightning," and having the obituary in the local paper say, "She attended frantically and ineffectually to many unimportant, meaningless details." We laugh because I think most of us feel that way. I imagine that our days are consumed with frantically tending to too many and varied things. We can wither under the weight of details demanding our attention. So let's hang on to this image of abiding in the vine who is Jesus Christ. For if we consciously recognize our attachment to Him and thereby our attachment to one another, then we may very well reach out in ways that seem the world to Him. 100 years from now, when an updated history of Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church is written, I hope it will say of us, they attended to well and faithfully to a few worthy things. And maybe alongside that recollection will be a picture of the vine, with its roots sinking deep into the source of all life, and its branches reaching out in loving service to the world. Amen.